Yesterday, I was mentioning about my taking sannyas. It happened all of a sudden. Actually, I can't say that it happened all of a sudden. Somehow, I had a feeling that Srila Prabhupada wanted me to take sannyas because during one of my first meetings, or during one of my early meetings with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, I was replying his letters, and often I used to take the letters to him and read them out to him, and then Srila Prabhupada used to correct or modify, and then I used to make the final draft, final. I used to write in hand in Prabhupada's letterheads, and Prabhupada used to sign. So one day I went to Srila Prabhupada while he was having a massage on the roof of Mayapur, and Harisori Prabhu was giving him the massage. So I read out the letters to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada gave the points for me to write a reply. And then after I had finished reading out and taking notes on the letters, I did not leave. I just kept sitting there while Srila Prabhupada was having his massage. And sitting on a straw mat, Prabhupada was taking his massage on the roof, sitting out in the sun, and I just kept sitting just to be with Srila Prabhupada. It was such a wonderful feeling to be with Srila Prabhupada and just to watch him, just to see him. Everything about Srila Prabhupada was so pure, so divine, so transcendental, and so beautiful. Although he was so old, Prabhupada, age-wise, at that time Srila Prabhupada was 82 years old and he was quite sick, apparently. But Srila Prabhupada's body was glowing. He was, in a way, sometimes it used to appear as if Srila Prabhupada was just a young boy, and he was not old, but he was very young, and everything about Srila Prabhupada was so young. He never gave an impression of being an old man. His spirit was so high. When he spoke, he was in perfect harmony and tune with all of us who were young at that time, and yet Srila Prabhupada was so wise, so profound and so lofty. And so I was just so whenever I used to get an opportunity, I used to just sit there with Srila Prabhupada. And I was sitting there, Srila Prabhupada was having his massage. Harisori Prabhupada was massaging him from the back, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting up. Now all of a sudden Prabhupada just started to speak. Srila Prabhupada just told me, for so many lifetimes you had been trying to enjoy, but you can see that there is no enjoyment. You're still not satisfied. So just offer this life to Krishna. Just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. If nothing happens, if there is nothing, no benefit, no gain, still it's only one life. So what's the loss? It's just one life out of many, many millions of lives. So just offer this life to Krishna. And then he started to speak about this, the nature of this material nature. He said, this material nature is a prison house of sex desire. In a prison, people are tied up with a chain. But here, in this material nature, everyone is tied down with a chain of sex desire. It's a subtle, very subtle chain. The sex desire is the chain with which we all are bound to this material nature. So as long as we have sex desire, as long as we are not able to conquer our sex desire, we will not be able to free ourselves from this material bondage and go back to the spiritual sky. So in order to go back to the spiritual sky, we have to conquer our sex desire. And what is this sex desire? The sex desire is like an itch. When it itches, we like to scratch, we want to scratch. But the more we scratch, the more we want to scratch. But the end result is, like, it doesn't really relieve us of the pain or the itch, but it starts to hurt us even more and it starts to bleed. So that is what our sex desire is like. Like, we'll never be able to satisfy our sex desire by indulging in sex desire. Just like we cannot extinguish the fire by pouring ghee in it, similarly, by indulging in sex life, we are not going to conquer our sex desire. We are not going to overcome our sex desire. So, the best way to overcome our sex desire is just to abstain from it. Just don't get involved. And he told me that don't get involved with any woman. And it was such a clear and such a profound instruction. And then he explained what the sex desire is like. You know, in so many ways he's kept on explaining what sex desire is like. He said that the sex desire is like a camel's eating thorn. Camel eats the thorn, which actually cuts his mouth and tongue and palate, and it starts to bleed. And the camel tastes his blood and thinks, oh, how delicious these thorns are. Similarly, through our sex indulgence, we actually lose the essence of our body, the semen. But we consider, oh, how joyful, how gratifying is this indulgence. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada gave various examples. He also compared that running after a woman is like a donkey, an ass running after a she-ass in order to have sex life. But what he gets is kick from her. But still, he doesn't want to give up. Anyway, so in this way, through many, many examples, Srila Prabhupada actually explained that how, due to the illusory influence of the Lord, influence of the illusory energy of the Lord, we get tied down to this material nature and we consider our suffering to be the source of enjoyment. But actually, the more we try to enjoy in this material nature, the more we suffer. The suffering in this material nature is like punishment. Like nature, material nature tries to tell us, try to remind us that don't try to enjoy in this material nature. And whenever we try to enjoy, she just punishes us. And that punishment is actually suffering. So if we really want to free ourselves from suffering, then we must try to stop trying to enjoy this material nature and become engaged in serving Krishna. So the real enjoyment is actually derived out of serving Krishna. That is our constitutional position. And through that service, we can experience the real joy, real enjoyment. We serve Krishna and we experience an inconceivable joy from within and without. When we serve Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. He rewards us. Like, that is the difference between endeavor for sense gratification and devotional service. When you try to enjoy through our sense gratification, through material indulgence and exploiting this, the objects of our senses, we simply get punishment, we simply get suffering. But when we become engaged in devotional service, when we become engaged in serving Krishna, then everything becomes so wonderful, so joyful, and so auspicious. When we serve Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. Krishna rewards. Material enjoyment, endeavor for material enjoyment, ends up in punishment from Maya. But devotional service ends up being rewarded by Krishna. Krishna rewards us in the most wonderful way. And that becomes the source of our joy. Krishna reciprocates, and that reciprocation becomes the source of our joy. And the more we get involved, the more we feel, the more we realize these reciprocations, the more we realize how real Krishna is. Krishna is not just an imagination. Devotional service is not artificial imposition on us. Devotional service is real. It leads to real reward. It leads to real enjoyment. It leads to experiencing real joy. And through that, Krishna becomes real. And Prabhupada explained that there is no need to try to see Krishna. Through devotional service, we experience Krishna. We experience how real Krishna is. We experience that He is there and He is reciprocating our love. And not that He is reciprocating our love. Actually, He already loves us. It is we who will have to reciprocate that love that Krishna is offering. Then only our loving relationship will be complete. So that is what devotional service is. So in this way, Prabhupada spoke for a long, long time. And then finally, when I got up and left, I was feeling 10 foot taller. That it was so ecstatic, that realization that now Prabhupada is just cutting all my desire for sense gratification, desire for material enjoyment, and our material entanglements. And He is just leading me to the realm of transcendental bliss, Krishna consciousness. And at that time, I had feeling that Prabhupada wanted me to become a sannyasi. At that time, I used to think that cutting all the material attachments and just moving forward in spiritual life is actually sannyas. Even before I joined ISKCON, I was actually thinking, I left home and I was thinking to become a sannyasi. Taking to spiritual life, becoming a sadhu, to me at that time just meant to become a sannyasi. And here I could get the confirmation that Prabhupada is saying that don't get entangled with anybody, don't get involved with any woman, which meant don't get married. Offer this life to Krishna. And it was clear to me that Srila Prabhupada wanted me to become a sannyasi. Then when I was in Vrindavan, I just got to know that Srila Prabhupada wanted to give me sannyas. Prabhupada was giving sannyas to two other devotees. One was sort of Mayavadi sannyasi who was quite scholarly, and Prabhupada, he took shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam into Hindi, and his name was Prem Jogi. He was a sort of a Mayavadi sannyasi already. And there was another god brother, Bhakti Chaitanya. He was from Punjab. He was the GBC of Punjab. And so Prabhupada was about to give them sannyas, two of them. And the day before, the sannyas was being, sannyas initiation was to be given to them, I got to know that Prabhupada was considering giving me sannyas. And I heard, and I kind of felt sort of natural, as I mentioned, like I felt that Prabhupada wanted me to be a sannyasi. And besides that, by the time I already knew that to be a sannyasi or not to be a sannyasi is not a big deal. That was not the question. The question actually is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. That's what really matters. And Mahaprabhu said, Kiva Bipra Kiva Nasi. It doesn't matter whether one is a Brahmin or a sannyasi or a Sudra or a Brahmachari or a Grihastha. What really matters is whether one has become a devotee of Krishna. Jai Krishna Dutta Vitta. But then I got to know that there was some objection to my sannyas, because some senior devotees felt that it was too early for me to take sannyas. I was just a few months in the movement, and I got initiated only about 2.5 months back. Already Prabhupada bestowed a lot of mercy upon me, giving me first and second simultaneously. And now Prabhupada wanted to give me sannyas. So I was kind of I was cooking for Srila Prabhupada at that time. So when I heard about all those controversies, I was in the kitchen cooking, and I just felt whatever Krishna wants. And but then I was cooking, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj just came to the kitchen, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj announced, "Boy, you made it. Prabhupada is giving you sannyas tomorrow." So I was happy. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very, very encouraging. And actually, later on, I mean, at that time also, I knew that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was one of the persons who was very strongly opposed to my taking sannyas. And but Prabhupada waived their objections and decided to give me sannyas. So I cooked, I served Srila Prabhupada, and then I took bath and took prasad, and then I went to Loi Bazaar. Actually, I went to Loi Bazaar with Bhakti Chaitanya, and he and I bought the wood, the bamboo, to make the sannyas danda, buy the cloth, and we dyed it. So all was done in few hours time, and I was ready to take sannyas the next day. And that is the first time Prabhupada actually awarded the title Bhakti to the sannyasis. He named Prem Jogi as Bhakti Prem Swami, Chaitanya. He named Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and he named me as Bhakti Charu Swami. So in ISKCON, and Prabhupada actually gave this Bhakti title to a sannyasi for the first time at that time. Now, of course, there are so many Bhaktis, but Prabhupada didn't give Bhakti title to anyone else before. And so Prabhupada couldn't conduct the fire sacrifice because Prabhupada was quite unwell and he was bedridden. So the fire sacrifice was conducted by some senior sannyasis, and then after the fire sacrifice, three of us went to Srila Prabhupada's room, followed by hundreds of devotees, and Prabhupada gave us the danda and the sannyas name, and then we had a kirtan and we were dancing, and Srila Prabhupada also was nodding and swaying in that kirtan and dance. And many devotees told me that it was one of the most ecstatic kirtan he ever heard. And right after taking sannyas, I had to go and cook for Srila Prabhupada. So I cooked for Srila Prabhupada and served him. Then after he took prasad, I and Bhakti Chaitanya went to... I was there and we were sitting near Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just started to speak. Prabhupada told us, to be a sannyasi means to be a guru. So now that you are sannyasis, you can initiate. You are gurus. But it's a formality that as long as the spiritual master is alive, one does not give initiation. So, in this way, Srila Prabhupada bestowed his causeless mercy upon this fallen soul. From nowhere he picked me up, placed me at his lotus feet, allowed me to serve him in a most intimate way, and he rewarded me in the most wonderful manner. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.